everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Apple TV, Apple TV Plus, and its effect on Disney Plus. We're also going to be looking a little bit at Disney Deluxe, which launched in Japan last month, and also just a few other little tidbits, because it's kind of a bit of an odd week. We're about 2 weeks away, under 2 weeks away. The end of next week, we're going to be having the Disney Investors Day, which is on April the 11th. And during that event, Disney have already stated that they are going to be announcing information, showing off Disney Plus for the first time, and showing us what the app's going to look like, some of the trailers, and we'll probably be finding out release dates. So next week is going to be like the big week. So it's kind of like everyone's quieting down a little bit before them. And then we've got Star Wars Celebration next weekend as well, where there's a Mandalorian panel. So next week, the end of next week, is probably when it's all going to start getting revving up. So it's just a lull before the storm. So a little bit odd one.
Yeah, although the storm has actually already started just a little bit. I saw just before we started recording, actually, that The Mandalorian has been renewed for season two, despite the fact that we haven't even seen a trailer for season one and Disney Plus doesn't exist yet. So obviously the execs who have seen whatever currently exists for The Mandalorian season one are like, yes, this is impressive. So that's a good sign.
It's quite a common thing with like Netflix. If they've been doing that a while, like Umbrella Academy and Narcos and something, they do quite often. I think they get their internal viewing and going, yeah, this is good, keep going. And I expect Mandalorian, they want to make this a bit of a brand anyway.
And so it kind of course
makes sense.
And I mean, there's even some precedents for it in Disney in the past. I think, was it Toy Story 2 was originally supposed to be a direct-to-video, and they did some internal testing on it, and they're like, oh, this is going to theaters because it's so good. And of course, Toy Story 2 is considered one of the pinnacle movies for Pixar. So
yes, it's just kind of, I think it's just going to be one of those things of, and also, I don't necessarily think Netflix have kind of got a different strategy going on with them TV shows of launch something new, do it for a couple of seasons. Once it starts dipping, they'll cancel it and move on to something else. This whole thing that they used to go around rescuing every single TV show, it's kind of gone past that now. They view that all they're after is new to keep bringing people in. So Disney might have a different idea. They'll probably keep things around a little bit longer while it's still running. But before we jump into all the bits and pieces, what have you been watching this week?
First, I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones. So getting ready for season 8 of that, the final season. But a little more on topic, I have also started rewatching the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. I watched Iron Man 1, and actually literally before we started recording the Disney Kingdom podcast, I finished The Incredible Hulk, which was actually better than I remembered it. I mean,
I always watch it whenever it's on television. I think it's vastly underrated. It's easily the best Hulk thing we've ever seen on this. It was the best Hulk movie. It's better than the TV series, a lot better than that original movie. I think it got a bad rap, and unfortunately, because of the character change, the actor change, I still think it was a good movie, and I always like watched it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I think it also kind of gets hidden because it wasn't released by Paramount, which was the company that was releasing the original Phase One movies, and it was Universal. Universal still has some copyright stuff going with it, I always think of it as like, oh, it's the bottom rung of the MCU movies. And actually it's above some of the other ones like Thor Dark World and Iron Man 3, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And it was admittedly a little bit weird to see Edward Norton in the role, because we're so used to Mark Ruffalo in the role now. And we haven't seen Liv Tyler since. And we have seen General Ross since then in Civil War, of course. Yeah. And I noticed this last time, I don't know if I had seen it before and just forgotten or if I missed it, but there's another scientist character in it who gets exposed to the gamma blood near the end, and I'm thinking that was kind of a setup for the leader, the Hulk character, and then it just kind of disappeared, forgotten about. I wonder if they'll ever come back to that.
I don't know. I am wondering, actually, because of the issues with contracts, whether or not Incredible Hulk will be on Disney Plus, because it's a Marvel movie, but it was a Universal movie. So, and yeah, I'm hoping it will be.
I can't see why they wouldn't. I mean, Universal, amazingly, does not have its own streaming service. Yeah. Unless you count, like, Comcast, what do you call it? Set top boxes.
Yeah,
Xfinity. Yeah. If you count their set top boxes where, you know, Universal movies reside, maybe you count that. But I think that Universal has to look at this and go, this is the one movie that would not exist on Disney Plus. And it's also a movie that most people probably wouldn't notice is missing from Disney Plus. It wouldn't be like, okay, I'm going to watch Iron Man on Disney Plus. I'm going to go dig out Incredible Hulk from Amazon or find the DVD or something and then go and watch Iron Man 2. No, it'll be, I'll watch Iron Man and then I will watch Iron Man 2 and keep going and the Incredible Hulk will just disappear. So they want it there for visibility at the very least.
And also if they get paid for it as well. But
of course, money always helps.
Yeah. This week I've been carrying on with my trend of going through season 2 of the Clone Wars, that series. Also, yesterday, Disney Life added the last 6 episodes of Star Wars Rebels. So I did three episodes last night. So I'm hoping to finish off Rebels this week. So yes, I can finally finish off Rebels. So I've been enjoying that one. Continuing to watch Good Doctor, Station 19, and Grey's Anatomy. They're the other ABC main shows I've been watching.
What was that middle one?
Before Grey's Anatomy. Station 19, which is a Grey's Anatomy. It's a Grey's Anatomy spin-off, where it's a firefighting team. It's
Grey's Anatomy spin-off of a firefighting team.
Yeah, it was because obviously Grey's Anatomy is in the hospital,
right? So that's why I'm confused.
Station 19 is a fire station, so.
But how do they connect? I don't.
One of them was a doctor, and now he's a firefighter, and that
of course. So.
That was
how. All right. Okay. Sorry.
Every time there's a fire now in Grey's Anatomy, one of them has to walk in. And
a lot of fires in Grey's Anatomy?
Well, yeah, there was, but it's just, yeah, one of those three. There was a big fire in there in an apartment the other night when we were watching. And of course, the team turned up from Station 19 to deal with a fire. They're going to have the crossovers.
Who would have thought that the next big connected universe after Marvel would be Grey's Anatomy? And yeah, I realize Law and Order has been doing a connected universe for decades now, but still, that kind of hurts my head, actually.
Yeah. I didn't go see Dumbo this week. I wasn't in a rush. It didn't look like anybody else was really in a rush. I think it limped in at like 550 million at the box office. It seems to be getting
Did you say 50 million?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like limping to me, but still.
Yeah, well, it's in box office terms.
That's fair.
Seems to be getting odd reviews. Some people liking it, some people not. Very meh. Seems to be a lot of people crying and it's amazing and going. I'm seeing a lot of good things on my feed about it, but I think the general consensus is a lot of just like, yeah. If this movie never existed, I don't think people would have missed it.
It's sitting at exactly 50% on Rotten Tomatoes right at this moment. So yeah, 50-50. I did not see it. I can't comment on the quality of it. I will see it at some point.
Yeah.
Right, Disney Plus. That's actually probably accurate. That and Mary Poppins Returns.
I haven't seen that either.
Which I actually heard was pretty good. Yeah. So, you know, maybe I'll see that before it comes out on Disney Plus. But yeah, Dumbo fails to soar in its opening weekend. That's the news article right now. Yeah. Either way, to be honest, I actually forgot it came out this week entirely. So,
yeah, I mean, this is going to be the big thing, really, I think, for Disney. But there was a lot of articles going on about how Dumbo would have been a perfect like Disney Plus movie to have launched on as an exclusive kind of thing of how, and they even a lot of sort of people critics saying, you know, it's not a bad movie, and this movie will continue to build up trend, especially as it goes through DVD. And then they said on their streaming service, it will pull a lot of people in, and people will rewatch it, and that will be a selling point for Disney Plus to have this on there. And the long life of this movie will continue to go. So that is obviously a key thing. But let's jump into the news. This past week, been a bit light, as I said. A couple of quick things. We've already said The Mandalorian has apparently been renewed for a second season. The Flora and Ulysses movie is apparently going into production this summer. There wasn't much more to it than that. Disney Plus's Angus Q is going to be speaking at the Produced By conference. She's going to be there doing that in June. And finally, Werner Herzog is going to be playing a villain in the Star Wars The Mandalorian. Like I said, there wasn't... That was about as... You know, I mean, reading out the title was really about as much as there was. There really was not a huge amount of detail in everything this week. It's just, as I said, I'm expecting everything to change in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, or before, honestly, yeah. As stuff starts to leak out, because they're going to want it... Well, not necessarily want to, but they're not going to be able to keep a cap on everything. So there'll be stuff leaking out, but the major stuff will be 2 weeks out. Now, I want to step back just one step here. You go, Werner Herzog is playing a villain. This is something that always kind of trips me up a bit. The series, as far as I know, is pretty much done with principal photography.
Yeah.
And so they're announcing Werner Herzog is playing a villain. It's like, he actually technically already played the villain. We just didn't know about it until now. That's not specific to this news. That's just something that I always find kind of fascinating about movie and television production. This person will be a villain, and it's like, yeah, but he shot his scenes like 3 months ago. Yeah. I'm pretty impressed that we didn't know that already, to be honest.
I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting anything less. I kind of, that was what I was expecting him to play. But nevertheless, it's a bit of a, it's kind of one of those weird ones of, I'm really hoping that we do start getting some information probably on how Fox is all going to integrate with Disney Plus. But next week we're going to do, because we're not expecting anything major this week, we'll be doing like our predictions for what we think we're going to see next week. So as per that, last week Apple did their event, and they were showing off their Apple TV app, which they're like redeveloping. And it's going to be running on not just Apple. They're going to be bringing it to smart TVs. They're going to be bringing it to devices. They're going to bring it to tablets. I think they suddenly realized that Apple TV will be better suited not on their little devices, because people won't pay for Apple TVs under their units, and they want to make some money off of it. So they're launching out Apple TV onto things. I'll be honest, I think if they can do this, it might make me more tempted to buy movies through them rather than Amazon, but I'm still a bit iffy on buying digital versions because, yeah, I don't know who's going to go. But I thought that was an interesting thing. But what was the key thing was this Apple TV, the way that they are integrating like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu into it, so that when you fire it up, you can see all the TV shows. And as long as you're subscribed to those things, you can launch them from within it, and it'll like give you almost like an integrated idea of everything is available all under one roof, depending on your subscriptions. So you still have to subscribe to these things to watch them. But kind of like I couldn't help but think Disney Plus are going to want to do this, because they're going to want to get it out onto as many devices. They're already working with Hulu, because Netflix turned it down and didn't want to be part of it. But I can't help but think Disney Plus will want to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix can kind of get away with it because they're the big dog on campus right now. You know, they are leading the streaming revolution, or however you want to think about it. So they can sit there and go, no, we don't want to play nice with the other competitors. This is like Sony with the PlayStation being the one system right now where they're like, no, we're not going to enable crossplay. We have the most consoles sold. We don't need to play with you guys. And this is the movie version of that. But I agree with you. I think Disney Plus, despite the fact that they're going to have the backing of Disney, obviously, which is a monetary powerhouse in the same realm of Apple and Amazon, they want to get the visibility out. They want it in front of as many people as possible. And if that means going to Apple or having Apple come to them and say, if you do a search on an Apple TV, do you want Disney Plus results in that search? Like, yes, yeah. Because we want people to know, oh, you wanted to sit down and have your kid watch Aladdin, whether the live action version or the animated version, and have them just be quiet for the next 90 minutes while you do whatever adulting things you want to do. yeah, we want you to know that it's on the Disney Plus app, and just one small monthly fee, you can have your kid watching Aladdin on loop for the next like 6 months.
I think the key thing really is the fact that if they subscribe through Apple, then Apple they take a chunk, they take like 20-30%. So Netflix don't want that, because they're like, no, you can just subscribe to us and then you use the Apple app and then we get all the money. Disney are going to be in that situation at the beginning. They probably don't want, they just want to get you onto it. The fact that the thing is as well, Disney was shown off throughout this event quite a bit. Shows were shown, movies, because obviously they're integrated with their movies at anywhere program. They were being shown things like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was being shown off. There was a kids section with that thing. So it wasn't as if there was no, and they're working together on the Apple Arcade. National Geographic are part of their new subscription. They were shown off during the Apple News section subscribe. So it was like a bit like, well, actually, Disney were shown working with Apple throughout it. Bob Iger is on the Apple board of directors. So, you know, this kind of thing is, yeah, I suspect they will be on there with them.
Yeah, I mean, they want it. They need the exposure. They want the exposure. Sure, they'll lose a little bit of the revenue, as you said, but making people aware that this thing exists is worth far more than whatever they'd lose to Apple, or cutting deals with, here in the States, say Verizon or Comcast, for put them on the set-top boxes, Rogers, Shaw up in Canada, you know, whatever they've got to do, especially if they're going to have part of, well, no, Sky's going over to Comcast. So, yeah, they definitely want to work with Comcast.
I mean, we're going to see a big shift with everyone like offering different bits and pieces. I think that's going to be something that goes forward. But watching that event back, you know, I couldn't help but notice Disney were included in a number of the things they were talking about. You know, the fact that they were showing off specific products. You know, it's like that kids section. You know, if you're going to have all that in there. I think the thing with Apple TV is more about letting people have access to the content, of keeping everything under one roof rather than flipping between the different apps. Because Hulu does that with like HBO and Stars and stuff, where you can kind of, if you're subscribed to it within that app, you can then watch those products. And I think that's the way it's going to go. And I think that's where Hulu is going to kind of become that thing, because I'm fully expecting Disney Plus to be an option within Hulu to kind of do the same thing, of just to try and get people subscribed. I mean, they do it with Amazon as well. You know, you flick through and there's all these extra subscriptions within Apple or between Amazon to going off and get bits and pieces. I think that's just one of the options Disney Plus will become part of. That would be,
yeah,
at all surprised if it's part of Amazon as well.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because I'll log into Amazon. It'll be like, hey, we listened to your microphone on your phone or whatever, and we heard that you're talking about Game of Thrones. You realize you can watch Game of Thrones through us with your HBO subscription. Right. Like, that's great. I'm not watching it through you guys, but they have that option. I think several other of the premium channels have it too. And I could totally see Disney Plus linking up the same way.
Well, I think that's the way, like you say, like with HBO, of how they use offering that content through their subscription for other outlets. It's just allowing it to be more used. So I'm thinking we're going to see a lot more of that. Apple also kind of announced Apple TV Plus. I couldn't believe it when that name got announced. I was like, wow, really? You really went there? That was a good one. It's like, it's the year of let's put a plus in front of it, a pie in everyone's name, and that means it's subscription service. So they came out with a number of big stars. So Spielberg, you had Oprah Winfrey, you had Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, and a few other people turning up, promoting their new movies and being just gushing over how creative and extraordinary all this stuff is. They didn't say a price. I think the big thing is everyone's all about like Apple TV getting into the streaming system, but a lot of other people going, well, Apple's got a lot of money to throw at it, but you've got no library other than the 20-30 things they've created, whereas Disney and Netflix and Comcast and Warner Brothers have got 50 to 100 years of back catalog. Apple's starting from nothing. And I was watching that event, and it was like, oh, these guys are just, they're yapping away, but it's like nothing of substance. It was all just gushing. I mean, it's like Steven Spielberg, you know, he made all that fuss last month about Netflix not being eligible for awards and shouldn't be on there, and streaming isn't this. And then, oh, 2 weeks later, pop up at an event to launch a streaming service. A lot of people called him out on a lot of hypocrisy for that.
I actually missed that he was at the Apple event. I knew about the streaming comments, and like, they shouldn't be eligible for Academy Awards. It's like, well, nothing should be eligible for Academy Awards. The entire thing's a farce anyway. But yeah, I mean, I respect him tremendously as a filmmaker, but there are times, not just him, there are creators who are like, I really like your work. Just don't ever speak outside of your work. looking at you, J.K. Rowling. But yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think the thing is as well, is like Apple, they were very much about this like creative stuff and trying to tell this story of what they're doing. And it's like, okay, you kind of create this like, it was all a bit like artsy fartsy stuff. And it's like, I don't know if that's, you're going to have to show us a bit more than just artsy, or tell us about arty farty movies and documentaries and stuff. The general public are going to need to have a lot more than just, you know. And it's like, they didn't even announce this. They said it's coming this fall. It'll be integrated obviously with Apple TV, but there was no pricing. And the trouble is right now is, I mean, you're seeing a lot of it with all the different streaming services, and people are a bit like, they're a bit angry. They're a bit like, everything's being taken off Netflix and it's everybody else's fault. And Apple TV kind of joining in the battle, but they're not really, it was a bit like the Gouda Stadium thing of, they're announcing these things, but they're not announcing the details. And sometimes it's coming back to bite them in the butt. I know Disney Plus, the sooner I've got some information to be able to, so I can actually put it out there, so I don't have to, you know. Yeah, people are asking me the same question multiple times a day, and it's because these companies aren't getting this information out.
It's like Disney Infinity all over again, except the information was out there for Disney Infinity. People just kept asking the same questions over and over. Does this work on Infinity 2.0? No, it doesn't. So, to get back on topic, you know, the market keeps expanding. The content keeps getting spread farther and farther out. I think the main thing I'd like to say actually is, people should hold Netflix a bit more accountable for stuff coming on, because it's very easy to say, oh, Disney doesn't want the Marvel stuff on Netflix because they want it on Disney Plus. And in a lot of the cases, it was actually Netflix going, no, we don't want to continue the contract because we want to own our properties. We don't want to license properties from other companies. That's not 100% the case. It goes both ways. There's definitely fault on all sides of the fence. But yeah, all these companies, Apple included, they want to do their own thing. And I, you know, Apple has been presenting this image, this very hipster, but a movie hipster style image for the last several years, you know, where, you know, the coffee house with your iPad, you know, the little beanie hat or whatever. And I'm kind of wondering if the movies and the shows that they announced for their service are kind of building into the same thing, and they might be missing the mark of who the majority of their consumer base actually are.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it was coming across, and it just felt a little bit like they were all like big upping like what they're doing and the, you know, the reasons for it and this, you know, the trends and they're sitting there going, yeah, to be honest, can you not just bring, you know, if you bring Transformers 6 to the movie, that'll probably be, you know, it's that kind of thing of like all these artsy fartsy stuff. It doesn't correspond to mass audience, which is why I still think Disney Plus is going to have that thing of, they are going to have, they are the popcorn. That is the, you know, your popcorn flicks. There's going to be some substance in there with some bigger things, but they are not interested. You know, they've got all this Fox Searchlight stuff because they want the awards and stuff. But they know that's not where the money is. The money is in, you know, things like Captain Marvel and Avengers and, you know, I would say Dumbo, but not necessarily Dumbo, but things like The Lion King and the animated stuff like Toy Story. You know, they're chasing the money and what makes things. And ultimately, you look at like, I look at something like the MTV Movie Awards, and then you look at the Oscars and you go, the Oscars is great in terms of creative side of things, but it's the MTV stuff which is what people are actually enjoying. You know, when you sit down and watch a movie in the evening, most the majority of people are looking for a blockbuster.
Yeah, and you can talk all you want about, you know, how kind of shallow these movies are. Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, there's not much depth to them. Sure, there's some cultural significance, a lot of cultural significance, Black Panther and Captain Marvel, but stuff like Ant-Man and the Wasp have basically the same amount of story development and plot depth. But they make incredible box off numbers. You know, they make their money back. They make a profit for Disney. And there's something nice about going to a theater and just being, you know what, I'm not going to think too hard about this movie. I'm just going to enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with going the other direction too, which is I want to see a movie that will challenge me, a movie that will make me think and re-examine the world and look at and go, look at this injustice that happened, and or, you know, look at this bravery in the face of injustice, you know, whatever. But like you're talking about, the majority of the time people really just kind of want the popcorn fluff.
The thing is, as well, as I actually think, like what you were saying there about those kind of movies, the Oscar kind of territory things, I think streaming and home movies is actually where they succeed, because you are more likely to sit back and then put something like that on but you're not going to go to the cinema to see it. You know, for me, if I'm going to go watch it on a big screen with lots of people around, I want to see the special effects. I want to see the grand side of things with the big screen. If I'm just watching two talking heads talking about something, it doesn't connect to going to the cinema for it. So I do think, like Apple, you know, if Apple TV Plus is going to be going for the more sophisticated television and the more, you know, that kind of, you know, empowerment and all these kind of a very different style of content, they could work out a little niche. You know, they could be, but will that be enough to go mainstream? And that's the thing. But if it's built in with their Apple TV and people can get into it, it depends on the price. And if they go in again at $9.99, they haven't got enough range for that. You know, when you got Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon with a massive back catalog, and Amazon, you know, Apple are sitting there with like five movies and five TV shows, yeah, they're not going to be able to compete. And this is where Disney Plus continues to pick up that trend of that back catalog is what a lot of people are looking to Disney Plus to be in I would almost say that the first big contender, because I think everyone acknowledges the fact that that back catalog is such a big, well, you know, powerhouse.
Yeah, we've talked about it plenty of times. The Disney back catalog is incredible. Looking at it, a value perspective, just not just the animated movies, but the history of live action movies, stuff like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins and all this stuff. And yeah, you can't, it's almost impossible to put a value on it. But I wanted to take a look. You were talking about price there briefly, and I think that's also a big factor in how movies do at the theaters, because you kind of alluded to it. If I'm going to the movies and I'm going to drop $15 to $20 on a ticket alone, before concessions, before anything else, I'm going to go for a spectacle. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to see Brie Larson blowing the heck out of spaceships. I'm going to go up there and see Thanos fighting against Rocket Raccoon and all these guys in a big super fight. And I don't even care if it's like completely CGI. It's a spectacle. And while I enjoy movies, you know, more cerebral movies or more talky movies, like, yeah, but the visual experience means I will get the same out of this film at home on my couch as I will going to the theater, but it'll be much less expensive for me to go on the couch, especially if it's on a streaming service, because I'm already paying for the streaming service, so it's might as well watch it.
I think that's gonna be the key thing going forward, but we're just gonna have to wait and see you know, where that all goes. I'm really hoping as well that maybe with Disney Plus that a lot of those old-fashioned like Fox TV Fox movies from like the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, etc., all get chucked on there as well, because I think that would be a big selling point of using the back catalog. That's family friendly. But nevertheless, so that is kind of just looking here at our notes. Yeah, so that's kind of the main thing from Disney Plus. That one, there was an article I put up this week about Disney Deluxe, which launched in Japan in early of March. Now, this is a streaming service running in Japan. It's got Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, and it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty much like a very much like what Disney Plus is going to look like. No mention of Fox or anything, but the reason for that was because it launched for there, and also it's probably just integrating it all. You know, they had the banners out, they had it on all the different devices, and it felt very much along the lines of going, okay, I know I've got Disney Life over here and I use it. I was watching it last night and I've been using it for a couple of years. But Disney Deluxe kind of felt a bit like, okay, this is very much like the Japanese version of Disney Plus. I am wondering if the reason they're not getting Disney Plus is because maybe wording, maybe the plus doesn't work in Japan. Maybe there's also some rights issues with bits and pieces. Didn't look like that. They've got all the Marvel, all the Star Wars, the line, I mean, they had the classic Star Wars. They had all the Marvel bits and pieces in there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Once Upon a Time. I was looking at this going, this looks like a very nice little preview of what we're going to see.
I hope so. I'd actually love to sit down and watch through Once Upon a Time, because I watched it very sporadically when it was showing, and I liked it well enough, but I think it works better maybe as a binge show. And yes, I realize it was on Netflix. Might even still be on Netflix. I'm not sure. But yeah, I wouldn't mind popping into Disney Plus for that. I suspect, and I'm just totally throwing this out there with no supporting evidence, but I suspect that they maybe released it under a different name in Japan because they didn't want people to notice Disney Plus launching into Japan. I still think it's a trial program, a kind of a preview of what it is, but they, you know, except for the people like closely paying attention, I don't think they wanted people going, wait, why is Disney Plus in Japan? Why don't we have it? So they name it something different. Japan gets it. They get to test it out kind of a little more secretively than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, this is the key thing. I mean, with like Disney Deluxe in Japan, Disney Life in the UK and Ireland, and also in the Philippines. It's that kind of thing. If they've got these little streaming things, very much easy for them to rebrand them. And once they've got a subscriber account and get people in, then just update the name, update the thing, and everyone's into it. But yeah, definitely much kind of a, I think it's gonna be a preview, but also sometimes there can be cultural differences. You know, maybe Disney Plus, the Plus branding doesn't work in, you know, there's a standing joke about, you know, that thing of picking a name and taking it to other countries can mean different things in different countries. So that might be why that's gone in. True. But it looks pretty good. I'm hoping, to be honest, Disney Plus has a bit more than what they've put on there, but it had all the Disney Channel stuff, had the Marvel movies, had the Star Wars stuff. But there again, it just looked great. And the fact of how they were showing it all off and there's presentations and things. But also in Japan, there's a kind of, you know, there's a big audience there, and it makes sense for them to go after different markets sometimes a little bit more speciality. Disney Plus could be launched in with it or merged in with, you know, now that Disney consumer products are all in all under one roof. You know, who knows? But yeah, nice. It's that kind of thing of sometimes making special versions of it. I'm sure, like, I think their thing is with Disney Plus, they do want to make it worldwide. But if they can launch it there for 6 months beforehand and eventually change the name a year down the line, that's easy to do. I think Disney Life will do the same. No point running two things simultaneously, but it is nice. It's that kind of thing as well. Sometimes, because I do have it, I'm used to it. Whereas, you know, if you guys not have it, you don't really know that the thing of having a Disney streaming service yet.
Nope. I have no idea what having a Disney streaming service is like, which is what's funny is I was actually originally on tap to visit Japan this year. Some other stuff got in the way of that, so I had to push it back to 2020. But it would have been funny to visit Japan, and while I'm over there, like, try it out on a Japanese. I don't know if that would work. I don't know if you could use an international phone plan or something like that. But that would have been kind of fun. And it's worth keeping in mind, of course, they probably picked Japan because the Japanese people do love Disney. Yeah. They really love Disney. And in fact, in terms of like international travel, they have one of the, they their population comes to the Disney parks in America more than almost any other country other than like the most Western European countries, France, Spain, England. And that was why they got their own Disneyland, was because of how much they loved it. And of course, film buffs will know that Hayao Miyazaki and Ghibli Studios, a lot of their early work was based very heavily on the Disney movies of old. So not only do they love the Disney stuff, but they've actually created their own Disney-esque company, which Disney now distributes in America too. So
it's also, I think as well, Japan was very much, it's much more the thing of like manga and anime and the whole thing of being of cartoons and stuff didn't have that same like thing about it. It's just for kids. So they kind of embraced it much more, you know. Now, you know, you look at us adults, you know, yeah, we all wear our, you know, we're all happy to go see animated movies and we wear our, and it's that thing of like, they were doing that way before we were, because they didn't have that cultural thing. You know, whereas our parents look at cartoons and go, no, that didn't have, they were much more used to it than we were over here.
Yeah. And I think that's only really just beginning to change. I know it's beginning to change probably since like 2000 or so, but it, again, a lot of this has to do with the streaming services kind of making it normalized. You've got, sure, we've had South Park and Simpsons and Family Guy on mainstream television, but now if you really want some edgy animated stuff that's not for kids, Netflix has got like BoJack Horseman. They've got that, that new robots.
Yeah, uh-huh. Crunchyroll is a streaming service in the US.
Of course, them too.
Like lots of bits and pieces.
Well, they take the anime from Japan and make it easily accessible to Americans. And so, yeah, we are slowly destroying that stigma that cartoons are for kids. Because there are definitely cartoons on Netflix and Hulu that I would not put in front of a kid at all. It's just not a chance.
Yeah, that Postman Pat. But anyway,
I might not, but that's for different reasons.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. But yeah, you'll have to know your guys' thoughts at home. So next week, our plan is to kind of do our predictions for what we're going to see next week. And hopefully there might be some news, but, you know, we might start. It's going to be that hard thing of, you know, I think Disney are going to be on lockdown of not letting out any information ahead of next week's event. So I'm hoping we do see some things, but we'll be talking about that more in detail later. Make sure you go subscribe on YouTube channel. We are literally, probably this week, we're about to just hit 1,000 subscribers. Massive growth there in the last sort of 2 months. I did a new video that I put up on Sunday, just kind of like a top list. That's going to be something I'm going to be doing regularly as a video and on an article on the website every Sunday. I've kind of picking out things as we get ready for the launch. It'll be like things of like top five things of this or top five of this that I want to see on there. But obviously once Disney Plus launches, then it might be like the top five movies to watch this weekend or something like along those lines. So that's going to be something that's going to be continuing to grow. Again, you can follow us on social media. Now follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, kind of to help get the word out and stuff. That'd be a massive help. James, where can they find you?
I mean, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.